Chapter 16. The Jewish People and Their Rebuilt Temple. Part 5. The 12th way we know the Jewish people really are ready to rebuild this last day's temple now, is that the articles are ready to build the temple. But don't take my word for it. Let's listen to God's.
Daniel 9:24-27. 77s are decreed for your people and your holy city to finish transgression, to put an end to sin, to atone for wickedness, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. Know and understand this, from the issuing of the decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until the Anointed One, the Ruler, comes, there will be 7 sevens, and 62 sevens. It will be rebuilt with streets and a trench, but in times of trouble. After the 62 sevens, the Anointed One will be cut off and will have nothing. The people of the Ruler who will come, will destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end will come like a flood, war will continue until the end, and desolations have been decreed. He will confirm a covenant with many for 1 seven. In the middle of the seven he will put an end to sacrifice and offering. And on a wing of the temple he will set up an abomination that causes desolation, until the end that is decreed is poured out on him.
So once again, we see in Daniel's amazing 70th week prophecy, that in the final week, the 7-year tribulation, the Antichrist will not only be the one who makes a covenant with the Jewish people which starts the 7-year tribulation, but in the middle of that week, or 7-year tribulation, he will go up into a rebuilt Jewish temple apparently and declare himself to be God, or what's also called the abomination of desolation, right? It's right there in the text. Daniel wrote that nearly 2,600 years ago. So, here's the point. Do we see any signs of the Jewish people really getting ready to rebuild this last day's temple anytime soon in Jerusalem, that the Antichrist will go up into and declare himself to be God? Oh yeah. In fact, so much so that they are in the process of finishing up virtually every single article they need for this temple to be in full swing. You not only need the priests, and the spiritual leadership, the Sanhedrin, but you need every single article to perform these services. Let me show you just how many they have completed.
Copper lava. The copper lava and stand, which stands in the temple courtyard between the sanctuary and the outer altar, is the first of the temple vessels to greet the priests each morning. There the priests wash their hands and feet before proceeding to attend to the daily tamid offering. Measuring cups are used for measuring flour, wine and oil, of which specific amounts are prescribed to be used as ingredients in various offerings. Copper vessel, the copper vessel is used for preparing the meal offering. Meal offerings are made using various amounts of flour, oil and spices. Lottery box, on Yom Kippur, the high priest reaches into the lottery box and chooses lots. This is what determines which goat will be used as an offering to God, and which will be sent off as the scapegoat, as an atonement for the sins of the people. During the first temple, the lots were fashioned of wood. In the time of the second temple, they were of gold. The lots pictured are fashioned of both wood and gold. Mizrak, this is the device that the priest collects the blood from the sacrifice into, and then spills the blood onto the corner of the altar. Large mizrak, and the smaller mizrak, are used to gather the blood of the sacrifice, and to spill it onto the corner of the altar. The large mizrak is used when sacrificing larger animals, cows and bullocks. Three-pronged fork, the three-pronged fork is mentioned in 1 Samuel 2:13. According to Hebrew scholars, the fork is used to turn over the offerings on the altar fire, or to lift up unconsumed portions of the offering so that the wood pile can be rearranged. Silver shovel. The silver shovel is kept on the southwestern corner of the altar. This shovel is used for the removal of ashes left on the altar, the first task performed by the priests each morning at the break of dawn. Silver decanter. The silver decanter is used for the wine libation. Wine is poured on the altar twice daily, morning and evening, accompanying the daily service. Silver libation vessels, one of the main aspects of the holiday of Sukkot, tabernacles, is the biblical commandment, and you shall be glad on your holiday, and you shall be only joyful, Deuteronomy 16:14. Indeed, the pilgrims who arrived in Jerusalem at the temple's courtyard came to rejoice. The focus of this rejoicing was the ceremony surrounding the commandment to pour water on the altar, the water libation. Silver cup, the silver cup, with the golden flask, is used in the festival of the water libation, which takes place during the holiday of Sukkot. At dawn, the priests and Levites, accompanied by the throngs of participants, wind their way down to the spring of Shiloh. Water is drawn from the spring and carried up to the temple in the golden flask, where it is poured into the silver cup, as it rests atop the altar. Sickle, on the 16th day of Nisan, in a public gathering on the outskirts of Jerusalem, the first of the barley crop is harvested using sickles. This barley is then brought to the holy temple to be used in the Omer offering. Omer offering implements, once the barley is brought to the temple courtyard, priests beat, roast, grind, and sift the grain. A handful of the resulting flour is burned on the altar. The remainder is eaten by the priests. Abuv, the abuv is a three-tiered stand. The top level holds a perforated copper pan, and below it is a receptacle for hot coals. It is used for roasting the newly harvested barley of the Omer offering, performed on Passover. Golden menorah, the menorah, made from a single piece of solid gold, stands in the southern side of the sanctuary. Each morning a priest prepares and rekindles the wicks. The central wick, known as the western candle, is required to burn perpetually. The oil and wicks of this candle are changed in such a fashion as to ensure that it will never be extinguished. Oil pitcher, the oil pitcher is used to replenish the oil for the menorah. The design is based on an ancient coin from the Second Temple period. This pitcher contains 3.5 lug, 2 liters, of oil. Small golden flask, the small golden flask is used to pour olive oil into the menorah. The priest pours oil into this flask from the larger pitcher, which contains enough oil necessary for all 7 lamps. This smaller flask is then used to replenish the oil of each individual lamp. Menorah cleansing vessel, the daily service of the temple includes the cleaning of the 7 oil cups of the menorah, using a vessel that includes tongs and a brush. Table of showbread, in the northern side of the sanctuary stands the table of the showbread. The table is made of wood, overlaid with gold. Upon it are placed the 12 loaves of showbread. Each Sabbath, the loaves are simultaneously removed and replaced by fresh loaves, so as to ensure that these loaves remain perpetually on the table. Miraculously, the week-old loaves being replaced also retain their heat and freshness. These loaves are distributed among the priests. Frankincense censer, once a week, on the Sabbath, the 12 loaves of the showbread are removed by the priests and replaced with new loaves. At the same time, the 2 portions of frankincense are also replaced. The 2 portions of frankincense are carried inside the gold frankincense censer. Still inside the censer, they are placed on the table of the showbread. Incense altar, centrally located in the sanctuary, between the menorah to the south, and the table of the showbread to the north, stands the incense altar, directly in front of the Holy of Holies, to the west. The incense altar, made of wood covered with gold, is employed in what is considered to be the most beloved aspect of the temple service in God's eye, the incense offering. In order to allow for every priest to perform this most prized of offerings, a daily lot is drawn. Only those priests who have never offered incense upon the altar are allowed to participate. Incense chalice, the incense chalice, which holds half a portion, approximately 200 grams, of the incense offering ingredients. The chalice is carried into the sanctuary of the temple, where the golden incense altar stands. Upon entering the sanctuary, the priest sounds the small ring-shaped bell seen on the top of the chalice cover. Incense shovel, this shovel is used to remove burning coals from the outer altar. The priest then carries the coals on this shovel into the sanctuary, where the coals are used on the golden incense altar. Silver trumpets, in the holy temple, silver trumpets are used during the divine service, as well as for announcing the arrival of the Shabbat, the new moon, the 3 festivals, and for other various occasions. Gold-plated shofar, the gold-plated shofar, ram's horn, is blown in the holy temple on Rosh Hashanah. Silver-plated shofar, the silver-plated shofar, ram's horn, is blown in the holy temple on fast days. Harp, the harp, or neville, is a prominent instrument used by the Levites in their orchestral accompaniment to the divine service. Lyre, the lyre, or kinnor, like the harp, is frequently mentioned in the Book of Psalms, as being a feature of the Levitical orchestra, which performs in the inner courtyard of the Holy Temple. High priest crown, one of the 4 golden garments of the high priest, is the crown, fashioned from one single piece of pure gold. The crown is worn across the forehead, extending from ear to ear. It is held in place by a string dyed in the same blue color as used in all the high priest's garments. The crown bears the inscription, "Holy to God, and is worn by the high priest at all times while he is officiating in the temple. Garment of high priest, here we see the weaving of the sacred ephod garment for the uniform of the high priest. The Temple Institute has also completed the complicated task of joining the ephod to the remembrance stones and affixing the breastplate. This complex project has been based on extensive research by the Institute. With God's help, this task has been completed and the results have been made public. Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant is the only object that is placed within the Holy of Holies. Once a year, on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, the High Priest enters the Holy of Holies, asking God to forgive the transgressions of the entire house of Israel. Made of wood covered with gold, it contained within it, during the period of the First Temple, the two tablets of the law brought down from Mount Sinai by Moses, as well as a vessel containing manna, and the staff of Aaron. Fearing its capture by the invading Babylonians, King Josiah had it removed from the Holy of Holies and hidden in a chamber deep beneath the Temple Mount. A tradition of its exact location is maintained to this day.
Looks to me like somebody's got just about everything they need, virtually every single article, ready to go for service in this last day's rebuilt Jewish temple. How about you? And again, what temple is this? Oh yeah. That's right. The one that Daniel prophesied about nearly 2,600 years ago that the Antichrist will go up into and declare himself to be God halfway into the seven-year tribulation. But that's not all. The 13th way we know the Jewish people really are ready to rebuild this last day's temple now, is that the miscellaneous items are ready to build the temple. You see, if you thought what we've seen so far, over the last several chapters prove beyond a shadow of a doubt just how ready the Jewish people really are ready to rebuild this last day's temple right now, think again. It gets even more detailed. They have just about everything you can think of. And again, a lot of it is current events, just now happening. Let me show you what I mean. The first miscellaneous item the Jewish people have ready to go right now for the last day's temple is the temple calendar. This is from March 12, 2018, a third temple calendar has just been launched. And they go on to
Exodus 12:2. This month is to be for you the first month of your year.
The king's calendar is a new calendar specifically designed for use in the third temple. It was created by Reuven Prager, a Levite who takes his biblical identity seriously, and who has also used his skills as a tailor to create the banner of the tribe of Levi. As part of his passion for the temple, Prager decided 36 years ago that he wanted to create a calendar for the third temple. But the project was so complicated and requires so much research that the first calendar is only coming out now. The king's calendar tracks all the activities that took place in the first and second temples and which will be performed again when the third temple is built. This includes the biblical feasts that are observed today, but the calendar also has many surprises, holidays and events that are only observed when a temple stands in Jerusalem. It's a mind-blowing calendar for the third temple era and the first of its kind.
The second miscellaneous item the Jewish people have ready to go right now for the last day's temple is the temple bread. This is from August 23, 2018, hands-on reenactment of temple bread baking is now occurring in Israel. While many read and study about the breads of the Beit HaMikdash, temple in the Bible, few have the opportunity to taste or to see them come to life. But thanks to Leigh Settle and his Artisan Baking Institute, hands-on workshops are now available for the biblical baking of temple breads, and it is the only one in existence. Tourists have come from all four corners of the world for this workshop, he told Breaking Israel News. Over the last 5 years, Settle has researched bread during temple times, even creating replicas of the baking utensils, as well as the showbread table used in the temple offerings. Settle explains the ingredients and methods to mixing and baking the dough that was used almost 2,000 years ago and also explains the importance of such a workshop. By going through the steps of baking bread as well as better understanding the purposes for bread in the temple, the Jewish people will be better prepared in third temple times. If Moshiach arrived tomorrow, we wouldn't know how to bake the breads. So, we need to map our resources and be ready, he maintained. Perhaps, Settle, this learning and eagerness could actually hasten Moshiach, the Messiah. The third miscellaneous item the Jewish people have ready to go right now for the last day's temple is the temple oil.
Rabbi Richman, the Temple Institute, and the Association of Temple Movements, together with all of Israel, take another historic step towards the resumption of the divine service in the Holy Temple with the unveiling and the presentation of the first pure olive oil for the Temple menorah to be produced in purity in 2,000 years and the special vessels to hold them. And the procession begins at 5:30 p.m. Zion Gate. 6 p.m. Meet at the Golden Menorah, our Yehuda HaLevi stairs opposite the site of the Holy Temple. 6:30 p.m. The Temple Institute's Holy Temple Visitors Center in a joyous song-filled procession. Olive oil will be deposited in the Temple Institute's Holy Temple Visitors Center. Join us on the seventh night of Hanukkah, Monday, December 22nd, in the Jewish quarter of Jerusalem's Old City to witness the first pure olive oil in 2,000 years. Be there for the continuation of the story of Hanukkah and the next step to rebuilding of the Holy Temple in our time. This is from October 2nd, 2018. The Temple Institute has now announced that it has produced pure olive oil fit for use in the menorah of the temple for the first time in 2,000 years. Initially, they produced only 4.5 liters of the precious olive oil, and it was an extremely complex process due to the necessity of keeping it pure according to Jewish law. But now they have whole farms. Farmers are now harvesting olives, like a stream of liquid gold, in preparation for the third temple sacrifices.
Every olive in the press at Asia Farms was planted and harvested in Israel's biblical heartland, right outside of ancient Shiloh, Israel's first capital and the location where the Holy Ark of the Covenant stood for nearly 400 years. Today, a small team of farmers are replanting the land, fulfilling what they say is the biblical prophecy described in Ezekiel.
Ezekiel 36:8. But you, O mountains of Israel, will produce branches and fruit for my people Israel, for they will soon come home.
We are doing the work that our ancestors did in the time of the temple, of course with the expectation that the day will come when we will take our olive oil to Jerusalem for use in the third temple, said farm manager Itamar Weiss. This is holy work that we are doing.
Sacrifices were suspended with the destruction of the second holy temple by the Romans in 70 AD. The expectation is that they will return when the temple is rebuilt. And Asia Farms, one of the largest olive presses in the country, is preparing for such a time. According to CEO David Zitzer, the farm's oil will be suitable for bringing a personal meal offering when the third holy temple in Jerusalem is rebuilt. The fourth miscellaneous item the Jewish people have ready to go right now for the last day's temple is the temple perfume. This is from November 6, 2018, and they go on to
2 Chronicles 13:1. Every morning and evening they present burnt offerings and fragrant incense to the Lord.
During the days of the temple, the priests would burn ketoret, incense, every evening and morning on the golden altar in front of the Holy Ark of the Covenant.
Many Jewish people believe that the incense offering was considered the most precious part of the temple service in God's eyes, and that the one who would have the privilege to offer the incense would be rewarded by God with wealth and prosperity forever, in this world and the next. Therefore, Sarah and Shimon Barta created the world's first Jewish perfume based on the incense offering. They used some of the incense offering's original herbs and flowers, and many other natural scents, to create a whole line of perfumes, including creams and deodorants. The couple investigated and collected thousands of plants and established a laboratory and manufacturing facility that sells a wide range of natural products. Their products all center on ingredients of Israel and the Bible. Shimon worked in the fashion business in France, but he and his wife always had a dream of owning and running their own perfume business. After moving to Itamar in the Sumerian mountains, he was inspired to make it happen. Shimon and his wife said, referring to their line of cosmetics, "If you really want to connect with the land of Israel, this is one way to do it." The fifth miscellaneous item the Jewish people have ready to go right now for the last day's temple is the temple music. This is from August 21, 2018. The return of David's harp is heralding the arrival of the third temple.
Psalm 33:2. Praise the Lord with the harp, make music to him on the 10-stringed lyre.
The Temple of Solomon was filled with the music of 4,000 harps, and a remarkable couple have been on a lifelong journey to return that music in time for the third temple.
Micah and Shoshana Harari of www.hararharps.com settled in Tiberias on the shores of the Kinneret, Sea of Galilee, where Micah set up a carpentry shop. Shoshana had always wanted a harp for some reason she didn't entirely understand. "I am the daughter of a Kohen, so I am sure there is some ancient connection," she explained. Micah was a trained musical instrument craftsman, and perhaps inspired by the Kinneret, whose name means harp, he announced to his wife that the time had come for him to fulfill her musical dream. They learned that archaeologists had discovered cave drawings of a harp in Megiddo. The drawings were believed to be 3,000 years old, meaning the Megiddo lyre would have been the instrument young David played to soothe a troubled King Saul. Thus the Harp Project, an ongoing non-profit endeavor to create harps and lyres for the Third Temple, had begun. Soon they were contacted by Rabbi Yisrael Ariel, founder of the Temple Institute. He told us that one day there would be a temple and there would need to be harps ready for the temple service. As donations came in, the Temple Institute commissioned more harps from the Hararis. In fact, Micah and Shoshana Harari recently released a video depicting this long-awaited fulfillment of the psalm. And I will bless those that bless thee, Genesis 12:3.
After 2,000 years, the prophetic sound of the harp of David is heard once again in Israel. These biblical harps will return to the temple in Jerusalem one day, where 4,000 harps and lyres were played by the Kohanim and Levites in musical prayers during the three pilgrim festivals. Sponsoring the harps for the temple had given good-hearted people across the globe the opportunity to partner with them in the reconstruction of the sacred biblical instrument to be played once again in the temple. Along with the destruction of the Second Temple and exile of the Israelites came also the exile of the biblical harp. On the way to Babylon, we hung them upon the willow tree. Psalm 137:2 and the sweet sound of the harp of David was all but forgotten. These ancient harps did not exist until 1982 when Micah Harari built one for his wife Shoshana, unintentionally restoring the biblical harp of David. An article published in the Jerusalem Post initiated interest in people all around the world to order a harp for themselves. So, they began building them in a harp shop in the Judean hills. Around the same time, the Temple Institute in the Old City of Jerusalem began collecting all the sacred objects that were used in the first two temples, to be used once again in the future temple. Thanks to the Temple Harp Project and generous funding from people like you, these biblical harps are being built one by one, two by two, to be kept safe in the Temple Institute, awaiting their true purpose to bring forth melodious prayers to our Creator.
The sixth miscellaneous item the Jewish people have ready to go right now for the last day's temple is the Temple Request. This is from the Temple Mount and Land of Israel Faithful Movement.
Gershon Salomon recently sent a letter to Pope Francis in the Vatican calling him to immediately return without delay the Golden Temple menorah and all the other temple vessels hidden in the Vatican that the Romans robbed from the Second Holy Temple in Jerusalem. It is the time for you to return the Holy Temple menorah, the vessels and the treasures to Israel with no delay to be used in the Holy Temple of God that is soon to be built.
The Romans brought the temple menorah along with the other temple vessels to Rome, and on the Roman triumphal arch of Titus that exists in Rome today, we can see the Jewish prisoners who were captured in Jerusalem carrying the seven-branch temple menorah and the additional holy vessels that the Romans robbed from the holy temple in Jerusalem. These vessels were put into the palace of the Roman Caesars and then later put in the Vatican after Constantine. For many years these vessels, including the temple menorah, were shown in the Vatican. Jewish travelers who visited the Vatican during the Middle Ages and even during the past few centuries personally saw these vessels along with the temple menorah inside the Vatican. Years ago, the temple vessels suddenly disappeared, and as we learned, they were hidden in the basement of the Vatican, especially after the foundation of the State of Israel in the year 1948. The papal authorities were afraid that Israel would build the Third Holy Temple and that the Israelis would ask the papal authorities to return the vessels so that they can be used in the rebuilt Holy Temple. After 1967, when the GD of Israel, together with the Israeli army, liberated the Holy Temple Mount in Jerusalem, the possibility that Israel would issue a request to the Vatican to return the temple vessels became even more probable, especially after the year 1990 when the Temple Mount and the Land of Israel Faithful Movement prepared the cornerstone, weighing 6.5 tons according to biblical law, and brought it to the southern gates of the Holy Temple Mount in Jerusalem in order to begin the rebuilding of the Third Holy Temple. It was the first cornerstone ever prepared for the building of the Third Holy Temple since the destruction of the Second Holy Temple in 70 AD. The chairman of the Temple Mount and Land of Israel Faithful Movement, Gershon Salomon, calls the Israeli parliament and government to build the Third Holy Temple with no delay. This is a godly call to our generation, the last day's generation, and we are honored and privileged to be the generation who will fulfill the expectation of the GD of Israel and fulfill it in our lifetime. Gershon will not stop his activities for this purpose until the vessels are safely and promptly returned to Jerusalem. If the request is ignored again, the Temple Faithful Movement will ask an international court to command them to do so. Gee, I wonder if some world ruler in the future will do this for the people of Israel and work out a deal where they get these articles back as well as permission to start building a new temple. The seventh miscellaneous item the Jewish people have ready to go right now for the last day's temple is the Temple Stone. A prophetic lost stone from the high priest's breastplate is believed to be found after a 1,000-year journey.
Exodus 28:9-12. Take two onyx stones and engrave on them the names of the sons of Israel and fasten them on the shoulder pieces of the ephod as memorial stones for the sons of Israel.
Sometimes incredible stories are actually true, and in this case, experts agree that a small onyx stone, claimed to be given to a Knights Templar over 1,000 years ago and handed down through one family from generation to generation, is actually what the present owner claims, a gem from the breastplate of the high priest in Jerusalem. In addition to the 12 stones mounted on the breastplate were two sardonyx stones fixed in gold settings on the shoulders of the high priest. Experts believe this is one of those stones. If this is so, it may play an important role in returning to the service of the temple. Dr. James Strange, a noted professor in religious studies and archaeology, traveled to South Africa and met with the family, intending to humor them. Instead, he was astounded by what they showed him.
"I was indeed amazed at the gemstone," Dr. Strange told Breaking Israel News. "I was unaware that anyone in the late Middle Ages had the technology to cut a hemisphere in such a stone, and even more astounding than the cut of the stone was the inexplicable inscription inside the stone, visible through the clear surface, two letters in ancient Hebrew. There is no modern or ancient technology known to me by which an artisan could produce the inscription, as it is not cut into the surface of the stone."
The family also had documentation that traced its descent from a Crusader period male ancestor who had been in the Holy Land in the Middle Ages and claimed the stone was a reward for his help in freeing Jerusalem around 1189 AD. Meticulously recorded family trees and genealogical reports corroborate the story. And it has been strongly transmitted to each member of the family through the centuries that it was God's hand that inserted the mysterious inscription inside the stone, and experts agree. The sardonyx stone is kept in a papyrus casket in which it was carried. The present owner has contracted with a South African businessman to find investors who are willing to purchase the stone and bring it home to Israel and donate it to the temple.
Of all the unusual artifacts that they say has been in their family for 1,000 years, and object of all the attention is a stone with an inscription dating back to 1000 BC. It has been languishing in a South African bank vault for many years. The descendants that have brought the sardonyx stone to South Africa in the 1700s now say they want to sell it, although they prefer to remain anonymous. But the stone itself is surrounded by controversy. Some would believe it is a priceless museum piece, while others say the inscription, which takes the form of Hebrew letters B and K, is nearly a quirk of nature. Professor Moshe Sharon, Wits University: "If it is man-made, then it raises the question of what kind of technology these people had in order to burn these letters into the heart of the stone. Because there is no interference with the surface, the face of the stone itself. It's absolutely clean. Letters in the stone are almost identical to the archaeological find from 1300 to 300 BC, but only an electron microscope would reveal the truth."
The eighth miscellaneous item the Jewish people have ready to go right now for the last day's temple is the temple sheep. For the first time in 2,000 years, streaked, speckled and spotted sheep are born in Israel.
Genesis 30:39. "And they bore young that were streaked or speckled or spotted."
Dubbed Jacob's sheep, a rare breed that was originally raised by Jacob, have now been born in the land of Israel for the first time in over two millennia and made their auspicious appearance last month in the Jordan Valley. One Torah expert believes they will play a role in bringing forth the third temple. Bill Lewinsky emphasized the importance of sheep to the people of Israel, explaining to Breaking Israel News that the Jews need the sheep to serve God in the third temple, and their wool is also used in making the clothes for the Kohanim, male priests, and they are the breed that was offered up as a sacrifice in the first and second temples. It is for this reason that Gil applied to the agriculture ministry to change the status of the sheep. For the first time, the ministry has declared a breed of sheep a protected species. The ninth miscellaneous item the Jewish people have ready to go right now for the last day's temple is the temple veil. Israeli women are now weaving the Holy of Holies veil for the third temple. If the Jewish temple is ever to be rebuilt in Jerusalem, the massive curtain, 66 feet high by 33 feet wide and 2 inches thick, that once hung in the Second Temple and was consumed by fire in AD 70, will need to be recreated. That task is already underway in the Jewish community of Shiloh, located in biblical Samaria about 40 minutes north of Jerusalem, reports Israel Today. For more than 2 years, women from the community have been working to assemble the materials and learn the techniques needed to weave the veil that will hang between and separate the holy place and the Holy of Holies.
Exodus 26:31. Make a curtain of blue, purple and scarlet yarn and finely twisted linen, with cherubim worked into it by a skilled craftsman.
In some ways, Shiloh, as the place for the women of the veil chamber to pursue their task, is a natural one. Ancient Israel's tabernacle, the precursor to the first temple built in Jerusalem by King Solomon, stood in Shiloh for over 300 years. And it was to Shiloh that the tribes of Israel came for annual festivals. The Gospel of Matthew records that upon Jesus' death, the great veil of the temple was torn in two, from top to bottom.
Matthew 27:50-51. And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks split.
Now that veil is being reconstructed. The weavers of the veil see their work as a holy activity that hastens the time of Israel's redemption. Step by step, patiently, we are preparing. The 10th miscellaneous item the Jewish people have ready to go right now for the last day's temple is the temple altar. This is what we saw in the last chapter. The Jewish temple altar for the third temple is rebuilt and ready for use. The altar is a central component to the biblical sacrificial service. The larger altar sat in the outer courtyard of the temple and was approximately 16 feet tall and 52.5 feet wide, with four horns, or raised corners, and a ramp.
Exodus 40:29. He set the altar of burnt offering near the entrance to the tabernacle, the tent of meeting, and offered on it burnt offerings and grain offerings, as the Lord commanded him.
The Temple Institute in Jerusalem has announced that it has finished building an altar suitable for temple service. The altar, which took several years to build, can be operational in little more than a moment's notice. According to the Bible, the altar may not be made out of stones hewn by metal implements. It is constructed from bricks fired to withstand the immense heat of the temple's eternal flame and the weight of the sacrificial animals. What makes the altar so unique is that it can be disassembled and reassembled easily, allowing it to be transported quickly and efficiently from its current location, on display at the Institute, or to the Temple Mount when the time comes. According to the Temple Institute, the people of Israel are required to build an altar exclusively on the site of the original altar on Mount Moriah, the Temple Mount. When circumstances become favorable, this new altar can be quickly reassembled on the proper location, enabling the divine service to be resumed without delay. It is now ready for use. With Passover around the corner, and the Passover sacrifice a central component of the traditional celebration, perhaps that time will come soon. And that's why on December 10th the Sanhedrin hosted a dedication of the altar for the third temple. On Monday, the Sanhedrin hosted the dedication of the altar for the third temple, marking the event with a full dress reenactment of the Korban Tamidi, eternal offering. Heeding the Sanhedrin's call to the 70 nations to participate in the consecration of the altar for the third temple, as Guatemalan Ambassador Mario Adolfo Bucaro Flores stated during his speech, "This is a truly historic moment. My government is pleased to be partners with the Sanhedrin and with Israel in bringing the Messiah." The 11th miscellaneous item the Jewish people have ready to go right now for the last day's temple is the temple sacrifice. This is from December 11, 2018. Temple Mount activists celebrated new altar and plan to practice an animal sacrifice. "What we still have to do is awaken the people," says one activist. Activists who hope to see the temple rebuilt on Jerusalem's Temple Mount unveiled a new altar Monday they say is intended to be placed on the mount and used to offer sacrifices. For the past decade, these activists, who are preparing for a rebuilt temple by recreating some of the ancient tools used in temple rituals, have been practicing offering sacrifices. On Monday, the activists wanted to practice using the altar but had to suffice with only part of the service because the Jerusalem municipality would not let them slaughter an animal in a public park. So far, the practice sessions have included slaughtering an animal and offering it on a temporary altar of wood. On Monday, the activists wanted to enact the complete ritual of slaughtering the animal and offering it, and had even received a permit from the police. But the municipality's legal advisor rejected their request to slaughter an animal in a public park outside the old city walls. Thus the sheep earmarked for this purpose was taken to another location to be slaughtered. Rabbi Baruch Kahane served as the high priest, instructing the other priests in their functions. Just as in Solomon's temple, the different tasks to be performed were assigned by lottery. The priests wore biblically accurate garb appropriate for use in the temple. Incense was made for the reenactment, and a small quantity was burned on the replica golden altar. Among the priests were young boys who were being trained in the temple service. Even though the sheep was slaughtered at another location, the sections of meat were arranged on the ramp leading up to the altar in the ritually prescribed manner, and one piece was thrown onto the fire on the altar to be burned completely. There is slow but sure progress, and if the authorities allow it, tomorrow we can do the whole service. Rabbi Hillel Weiss, the spokesman for the Sanhedrin, we are on the cusp of the revelation of the Moshiach, Messiah. The 12th miscellaneous item the Jewish people have ready to go right now for the last day's temple is the temple crown. This is from December 7, 2018. A campaign has been launched to construct the messianic golden royal crown.
Psalm 21:3: You welcomed him with rich blessings and placed a crown of pure gold on his head.
Rabbi Yosef Berger, the rabbi of King David's tomb on Mount Zion, has initiated a special project to create a golden crown to be presented to the Messiah King upon his arrival in Jerusalem. Rabbi Berger, a direct descendant of King David, explained that the founding of the State of Israel and the Six-Day War were overt miracles, and that we are today living in the beginning of the Messianic era. Creating such a crown, he said, and uniting the 70 nations of the world around the project, will hasten the arrival of the King. For 2,000 years, Israel has waited for the Moshiach, Messiah, Rabbi Berger said. As a symbol of our belief that this period of waiting has ended, we should prepare a crown, since the first act of the Moshiach will be to restore the Davidic dynasty, which will be visibly unlike any other kingship that has ever existed. The rabbi emphasized that a king of Israel would ensure that the exile would end, the ingathering of the exiles would be complete, the temple would be rebuilt, and the temple service reinstated. The rabbi also noted that amazing efforts have been made to prepare for the third temple and all of the utensils stand ready, but no preparations have been made for the Messiah who will build the temple. Creating a crown for the king is unprecedented, Rabbi Berger said. When all 70 nations unite in an act of love expressly intended for the king in Jerusalem, this will surely be answered by Hashem. Rabbi Berger said. By preparing an actual crown, we are taking the first step toward bringing the inner vision of a king into reality.
Video transcript: for 2,000 years, Israel has waited for the Moshiach, Messiah. As a symbol of our belief that this period of waiting has ended, we should prepare a crown. Since the first act of the Moshiach will be to restore the Davidic dynasty, which will be visibly unlike any other kingship that has ever existed. Join Israel 365 and Rabbi Yosef Berger, the rabbi of King David's tomb on Mount Zion, to create a golden crown to be presented to the Messiah King upon his arrival in Jerusalem. Donors of $180 or more will receive a special commemorative temple coin. We are today living in the beginning of the Messianic era. Creating such a crown and uniting the 70 nations of the world around the project will hasten the arrival of the King. Donate now.
Folks, virtually everything is ready to go for the temple. Everything you can think of, including crowning the guy who they think will be their Messiah. Gee, I wonder who that will be? What more does God have to do to get our attention? If we see for the first time in 2,000 years the Jewish people having the desire, the power, the organizations, the finances, the plans, the red heifer, the Sanhedrin, the priesthood, the ceremonies, and virtually every article needed, as well as the miscellaneous item 7 needed to rebuild the end times temple right now, then at how much closer is the rapture of the church which takes place prior? We are so close, it's not even funny. This is why, out of love, God has given us this update on the final countdown, tribulation rising concerning the Jewish people and the Antichrist, to show us that the 7-year tribulation is near, and the return of Jesus Christ is rapidly approaching. And that's why Jesus himself said.
Luke 21:28. When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near.
Like it or not, we are headed for the final countdown. The signs of the 7-year tribulation are rising all around us. It's time to wake up. Here is the point. If you're reading this today and you're not a Christian, then I beg you, please heed these signs, heed these warnings, give your life to Jesus now. You don't want to be here when God pours out his judgment upon this wicked and rebellious planet. It's the worst time in the history of mankind, so horrible that unless God shortened the time frame, the entire human race would be destroyed. The only way to escape is through Jesus. Take the way out now before it's too late. Get saved today. But, if you're reading this today and you're a Christian, then it's high time we stop goofing off and getting distracted with this world. Let's get busy working together, sharing the gospel with as many as we can. Let's leave here being living for Jesus and longing for his soon return.